Hare Krishna. So this morning, we're continuing our reading of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, Priya, the Beloved. Now, the Yadus are going to speak. Narada has glorified them as being most close to Krishna because of being family members. And particularly, he has singled out Ugrasena, the king, as being especially dear to Krishna because Krishna is coming every day, putting his head on the feet of Ugrasena. How much more intimate can it be for the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Master of everyone, to bow his head? So now the Yadus are going to answer Narada. We'll see what they have to say. We're beginning with text 112. Sri Yadava Uchu. Sri Krishna Syapi Pujas Tvam Asmadiya Mahaprabho Katam Asman Maha Nichan Nichavan Namasi Prabho. The fortunate Yadava said, even our Supreme Master, Sri Krishna, worships you. Why then, O venerable sage, are you acting like a lowly person by offering respects to us, the most lowly? So this is the reoccurring theme of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. No matter how exalted you are in devotional service, no matter how close you've come to Krishna, the closer you are, the more you think yourself unworthy, the more you think yourself lowly. And specifically here, the Yadus are pointing out that, you know, Krishna worships you. When you come into the court, he stops whatever he's doing, he gets off of his seat, he offers you a seat. So you're worshipable, you know, to him. Why are you speaking like this? Glorifying lowly people like us. Why are you degrading yourself? Jittavak patinai punya tad idam nas tayoditam tad asam bhavitam nasyat yadavendra prabhavataha. You can defeat the wit of even Brahma, the master of speech. And so by the power of our Lord Yadavendra, what you have said to us cannot be untrue. Commentary. Digdarshini, Sanatana Goswami. On one hand, the Yadavas listening to Narada are inclined to discount Narada's description of themselves as exaggerated flattery. You're just saying this because, you know, we've known each other for a long time and you've come here so many times. So we know each other well, so you're just saying this out of flattery because we're your friends. Thus they call Narada the most expert word juggler. On the other hand, when Krishna is personally involved, anything is possible. They are his family members, and Narada is one of his eternal Vaikuntha associates. So they are forced to accept Narada's statements as true. So this is an interesting point, that out of humility, not out of pride, the Yadus are forced to accept that Narada's words must be true because he's the authority. The first devotee who did this, if you remember, was Uddhava. None of the other personalities before would admit to anything that Narada was saying in praise of them. Uddhava was the first. And then in the commentary to that verse, Sanatana Goswami explains that because Uddhava accepted Narada as his guru, as his spiritual master, he was forced to accept it to be true. Of course, then he adjusted it with very, very intelligent arguments, he adjusted it to prove that actually he wasn't worthy, or wasn't the highest devotee, or wasn't worthy of Krishna's, I mean of Narada's praise, of being considered so close to Krishna. So in the same light, the Yadavas are doing this. They accept that Narada is the sage of the demigods. He must be, no, he knows everything. He's the all-knowing sage. So what he must be saying is true. So they're saying, you know, by Krishna's power, you know, he's put you in this position. You know, he's always bowing down to you and listening to you, and you're always telling different things that precipitate, you know, Krishna's pastimes and facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So, we're in an awkward position here. We know that we're not what you say, but at the same time you're saying all these things. So now we'll see how they find their way out of this one. Tasya kinapi ghandena kimva kasya nasidyati mahadayakado yoyam nirupadi suritama. If one has even a slight trace of a touch with Krishna, is there anything one cannot achieve? Krishna is a boundless reservoir of mercy and one's unconditional best friend. So immediately they turn the praise to Krishna. This is the way. This is the way. Immediately they turn the praise to Krishna. Commentary, Digdarshini. True compassion originates in Krishna. Or in other words, only Krishna's pure devotees can be truly compassionate. The special quality of true compassion is that it is unconditional. Krishna and the devotees who convey mercy on his behalf never expect any reciprocal favors. How many times have you heard it? Well, he got this, what about me? He's favoring him. He's getting this, he's getting that. I've been here just as long. Why shouldn't I get something? I'm going. This has nothing to do with devotional service. This is not devotional service. And persons who are in this mentality are not devotees, actually. Even they're putting on the cloth, even they're attending the programs. Unless you have compassion, and the first symptom of compassion is unconditional mercy towards others. And the first symptom of that is that you don't expect anything in return for your service. You're not doing your service for something in return, some facility, some this, some that. Prabhupada used to laugh sometimes. He would say, yes, he said, Krishna, my father told me, Krishna has 10 hands and I have 2. So if he wants to take something away from me, what can I do with my 2 hands? He will take everything. But if he wants to give you something, he has 10 hands and you only have 2. What can you take? He can give you more than you can take. So then Prabhupada laughed and he said, yes, and I am an example. Prabhupada took everything away from me. I became beggar. I had not even practically cloth. One piece of cloth he had in Vrindavan. Nothing. 25 paisa a day, something, just nothing he practically had. One of the Gaudiya Math people, they wanted him to come and take charge of some center or oversee some publication, because they knew that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very much respected his literary ability, especially in English. And Prabhupada wrote a letter back, well, all right, but you have to at least give me one dhoti, one nice dhoti, because, you know, I may have to meet a respectable person, and I should have one nice dhoti. And then he laughed again, and he said, but just see, now he's giving me so much, I can't take it. Krishna says, now okay, you're tested, take it, whatever you like, take it, more and more, and you can't take enough, you can't take it all. So when you're looking for yourself in devotional service, you won't get it. You'll keep getting it taken away, you'll keep getting frustrated, and you'll run away in frustration. But if you actually serve for the pleasure of Krishna, if something's needed for your service, as your service increases, because if you're sincere and your desire is sincere, then your service will increase. And if you need something to increase that service, it will be provided by Krishna. Krishna is no poor man. Mayavadis, they have this theory, Daridra Narayan. They'll only worship Krishna if he comes begging with a stick and a bowl, you know. They want to make everybody Narayan, right? They're Mayavadis. So they want everybody, they want you to see everybody as Narayan. So they call Daridra Narayan. They manufactured, they concocted this phrase, Daridra Narayan, for the poor people, Harijans. And they'll worship Narayan. But they won't worship Lakshmi Narayan with all the opulence and all the things. They won't worship Krishna when he comes with Lakshmi, or when he comes with Radharani, or when he comes with Sita. They won't worship Krishna then. They'll only worship if he comes begging with a bowl and in the form of a poor man. This is foolishness. Complete foolishness. So if you serve, Krishna will test you. He will take everything away from you. And then when you're fully tested, then he will give you everything. So the first symptom of this, of whether or not one's compassion is unconditional, is that devotees who convey mercy on his behalf never expect any reciprocal favors. They freely distribute mercy to anyone who will take it. This is the meaning of the words nirupadi and ahaituki, often seen in descriptions of Krishna's mercy, especially now in Kali Yuga, after the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he's acting as a devotee of Krishna. And he's showing that the devotee's mercy is even more than the mercy of Krishna. I had the good fortune of asking Prabhupada this specific question once on a morning walk it was either Chevrolet Hills Park or Venice Beach, I think. Yeah, we were walking. And I asked Prabhupada, I said, Srila Prabhupada, and he said, what? And I said, the pure devotee is more merciful than Krishna? And he said, what did he say? Turned to his secretary. He said, what did he say? And I was nervous. So I didn't speak very loud. I said, Prabhupada, I said, the pure devotee is more merciful than Krishna? He said, what did he say? Second time. Then finally one of the devotees said, he's asking whether the pure devotee is more merciful than Krishna. And Prabhupada stopped. He turned around, he looked at me, and I stopped this close. And he smiled. Beautiful smile, looked into my eyes, and he said, yes. And then he gave me that mercy. And I was melted, completely melted. And then he told the story of how Arjun wanted to save them, but Krishna wanted to kill them. And they told the story of, the first time he told the story actually of Ambarish Maharaj, and how his mercy was the only thing that could save Durvasa Muni. Even Durvasa Muni went all the way to Vishnu and begged shelter from Vishnu. And Vishnu said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. My pure devotee has... you've offended my pure devotee. There's nothing I can do. You have to go and get the forgiveness of that pure devotee. So in this way, these are examples of, as Sanatana Goswami is saying here, nirupadi and ahaituki. Ahaituki nir. This is famous. These are famous words in famous verses. Yaya ma supersediti. Only when your service is ahaituki and apatiyata can it be actually fully satisfying. So if we're not fully satisfied, it means we are not yet a haituki. And we're not nirupadi. We're not free from bodily designation. We're still conditional in what we want in return for our service. And therefore, you cannot be compassionate to another living being. Why? Why? Because as long as you're identifying with your body, there are things that you want for your body. And as long as you want what other people want, you cannot see their suffering. As long as you're wanting what other people want, Prabhupada used to warn the sannyasis, you may go to the house of rich men, sometimes they invite you. They know the Vedic culture especially. They'll give you something, and you may look around and see all this other. He said, if your mind goes there, you're finished. You're finished. There's no question of being fallen, you are already fallen. So because if you hanker after the person you're supposed to be preaching to, you actually are not preaching to them. Because you're not seeing how they're suffering. You can't see how others are suffering unless you've given up sense gratification. As long as you're into sense gratification, you cannot see other people's suffering. And unless you can see literally yourself, other people's suffering, you cannot feel compassion. Why would you feel compassion? If you see something, somebody has something that you want, how are you going to have compassion for that person? How are you going to see that person suffering? No, you're going to say, oh, that person's enjoying. I want to enjoy like that. Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? So as long as you are on this bodily platform, I am American, I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am Christian, I am Muslim, I am this, I am that. As long as you're thinking like that, as long as your mentality is still tinged with that identification, you can't actually see the soul. Therefore, you can't actually be free from desires for things, and you cannot be compassionate. And not just that, but you can't be happy even in devotional service. Devotional service becomes a burden. After some time, devotional service will feel like a burden. You have so many duties to do, you have no time to do what you want to do. The deity are demanding so many things every day at the same time. The offering has to be on. And after some time, you will think it's a burden. And when you think it's a burden, then what? Then you'll try to avoid. But of course, you don't want to be seen to be like that. So you'll have to make up all kinds of excuses and all kinds of... You'll have to say and do all kinds of things to the others to make it look like it's their fault, not my fault. That this service didn't get done properly. No, Prabhu, not me. I'm Therefore Prabhupada used to say, before you try to go to higher things, first of all be clean and be punctual with the deities. Be clean, extremely clean. Not that up front is clean, and you open the cabinet and you see everything put here, put there, nothing clean, you know, the kartals are got threads on them that have been on there for 8 months, 10 months, a year. They look black, like they've been, you know, rubbed against an automobile engine, you know. But until we're actually doing devotional service, you can't see these things. Do you understand? The only reason why, you know, the kartal straps got to this state is because no one here is actually seeing what it's supposed to be. It's like trying to cook when you don't know what it's supposed to taste like. Therefore, the best cook is the one who likes to eat the most. He's the best cook because he knows what it's supposed to taste like. Right? If somebody who doesn't like to eat, don't put him in the kitchen. Everyone will suffer. So these seem like very simple, basic, obvious things. And especially we've been in the movement for so many years, and we know exactly what to do, you know? We know all the rituals, we know all the mantras and this and that. But actually, in the heart, You know, we're proud of those things. You know, our hearts are not melting, therefore. You know, when you see something like this, when you see something not right, not clean, not being done properly for the deities or in any aspect of devotional life, you'll hurt, you'll feel pain. This is real compassion. Once Srila Prabhupada was, you know, in London and he was being taken in the car. This was 1976 or 77. It was 76 or 70. His health was not very good, but still they had this new building, the So Street building. They had just gotten a new building. They wanted Prabhupada, or they were looking to get the building, and they needed Prabhupada's sanction. So they brought him down, and he didn't get out of the car, but he saw the location, you know, the building, what it was like, and he approved. And then he was going out, because it's right next to the main street in London, Oxford Street. You know, Fifth Avenue in New York and Oxford Street in London. These are the two major streets, main streets in the world, practically. So Prabhupada, as he turned the corner, and there's more people on the streets than anywhere else in the West. In India you see many people on the streets, but in the West sometimes not so many. But in these streets you see many people. Prabhupada looked, and then he started crying. Not just tears, he was crying, sobbing. He was crying, sobbing. And Brahmananda was with him, and afterwards, you know, Brahmananda asked what had happened. He thought maybe probably remembered something or something, remembering Krishna or something. And Prabhupada said, no, yeah, see, look how they're suffering. Look how they're suffering. They're all dressed, very nice clothes, and they have big smiles on their faces, and they all have beautiful naked girls in their arms and all the fancy things they've got. But look at them, he said. Look at how they're suffering. We have to deliver them. This was the motivation that took Srila Prabhupada to the West without any support, in ripe old age, without good health, and caused him to work himself to death, actually, for us. And everyone else came on later. I think now they're saying this one's doing the same thing, this one's doing the same thing. And before, some went. Couldn't do anything. Because they didn't have this gift of compassion. They didn't have this gift of compassion. You get this gift of compassion from one who has that compassion by serving without motivation and getting the mercy of that person. Then you can have that compassion. Otherwise, there's no way to get it. There's no manipulation. There's no politics. There's no arrangement you can make. No facilities you can get that can give you this compassion. Text 115. Maha mahima pato di smitta matro kilartadaha dinanathaika sharanam hinathadika sadaka. He is the ocean of all greatness. Simply remembering him assures all success. He is the master and only shelter of the most fallen, the provider of everything desirable to those who have nothing to possess. Commentary, Digdarshini, Srila Sanatana Goswami. Krishna is not satisfied with merely fulfilling the ambitions of his devotees. He likes to bestow on his devotees more than they ever desire. Intelligent persons should take shelter of this great quality of his, which is like a vast ocean, deep and certain. Krishna's mercy need not take long to achieve, and it pays little regard to the qualifications of those who receive it. As Narada says here, as soon as one remembers Krishna, one's success is guaranteed, regardless of the purpose of one's endeavor. Even if one's intentions are off target, when one becomes absorbed in remembering Krishna, Krishna reciprocates by helping one adjust those intentions. In particular, those who have no other shelter can be assured of Krishna's protection. Helpless persons, hoping against hope to be able to surrender to Krishna, can be confident of receiving his mercy, even if they have no pious credits, philosophical knowledge, or devotional accomplishments. Considering this, the Yadavas present themselves as most fallen and unqualified, and thus quite fit to be favored by Krishna. But so many other fallen souls can equally gain Krishna's favor. The Yadavas further tell Narada, "Our position is nothing unique. Your singling us out for praise is just clever word jugglery." So basically what they're saying is that, you know, you're saying we're so favored by Krishna, but look how, you know, opulent we are, how well taken care of we are, we have nothing to worry about. So those people who are really dependent on Krishna, they don't have anything. You go to them, those who don't have anything. Of course, the fact is that the Yadavas are completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. This is the way to measure. Not whether or not one has a lot of opulence or not. One may be the most niggardly person without anything and may be the most puffed up rascal. And one may be living in luxury, swimming in luxury, and may be the most advanced, humble soul. Just look at Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was so opulent. He was, even his hair was had fragrant oil on it, and he was lying on these, you know, silk, you know, embroidered, you know, couches, and his furniture had pearls and, you know, jewels, and he was living like prince. He was like so opulent. So Lord Chaitanya heard that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was coming to Navadvipa. So he sent Gadadhar Pandit to see him, to greet him on his behalf. And he told him, you should get his mercy, you should get what he has, you know. So Gadadhar Pandit, who was the opposite, he was a renunciate, he had nothing material. So he went there and he saw the opulence of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he was, couldn't understand what was Lord Chaitanya talking about. What does he have to offer? He's just living like a prince. He's attached. He's a materialist. So then he just paid his obeisances and he came back. So Lord Chaitanya said, so did you get Pundarik Vidyanidhi's mercy? And Gadadhar Pandit said, my lord, I didn't know how to get his mercy because he was so opulent. And then he said, you didn't hear Harikatha with him? You didn't hear anything about Krishna from him? You fool. You go back. So then he went back. And there Pundarik Vidyanidhi was there, and Gadadhar Pandit chanted one verse from Bhagavatam. And as soon as Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this verse from Bhagavatam, he went mad. He went completely mad, and he started throwing all of his opulent furniture and everything, just destroying it. He smashed the whole room. Gadadhar Pandit, then he understood, oh, this person is a great Mahabhagavat devotee. He's exhibiting ecstatic symptoms as soon as he heard Krishna Katha. And he said, now what am I going to do? I've made an offense. I was thinking he was a materialist. What did he do? He fell at the feet Pundarik Vidyaniti. He begged forgiveness for his offense. And he said, you please, initiate me. You're the only one who can initiate me. And it's the only way I can overcome my offense, so please. And then Pundarik Vidyaniti initiated him. On the other hand, a person may have nothing and may be the most arrogant wretch. And what is the difference? The difference is you can't think about Krishna. You can't actually think about Krishna. You may be a great scholar and you may memorize millions of shlokas. But in your analysis, you may not mention Krishna. There are people like that in India. They know all the Arya Samaj and people, they know so much. Don't argue with them. They will twist you and tie you in a knot. But they take Krishna completely out of Bhagavad Gita. They take Krishna completely out of Bhagavatam. Impossible. How do you take Krishna out of Bhagavatam? Every verse. But they find a way. Because they can't think of Krishna. So this is the test of whether or not you're actually advancing in devotional service. Can you think of Krishna? Can you actually think of Krishna? While you're doing your service, what are you thinking about? You know, how it will get done so that I can do my program? No one can become overwhelmed with spiritual emotion and devotion thinking like that. So the Yadavas are glorifying Krishna. He is the ocean of all greatness. You know, simply remembering Him, you become successful, no matter what your intentions are, no matter what you're doing. Because they know that you can't actually do that unless your intentions are pure. But it's so great, Krishna consciousness is so great, that even if you don't have pure intentions, if you actually take up the process of remembering Krishna, which is not easy to do, by the way. For a person who has bad intentions, it's not easy to do. Sometimes we may have one bad habit. In the material world, all of us have bad habits. Everyone. And sometimes the bad habit may become second nature. You know, second nature means it's just there. I mean, you don't think about it, you don't even see it. Other people can point it out to you and you don't even see it. What? You know? It's like living in a house with a crack on the wall for 100 years. Somebody comes in, why are you living with a crack on your wall? You look, what crack? You can no longer see. It's called house blind. You can no longer see. We don't want to become like that, that we're doing our service mechanically for so long, and meantime, the deity paraphernalia is dirty, the brass and the silver are not shining, The kartal threads look like they have been dipped in, you know, kerosene. Yeah, we're chanting very nicely. We don't want that. We want to please Krishna. We want to think about Krishna while we're doing things. And when we do, we'll automatically see, you know, something in relationship to Krishna should not be treated poorly, should not be neglected. Not that you put up a show and dress everything very nicely, and in the back, you look behind, and it's dirty, and there's insects, and this and that. We have this experience. Over the years that we've stayed here, we have this experience. Some of the best dressing pujaris that have come here, and everybody's, even us, we thought, oh, very nice, very nice. But then after some time, you know, we relaxed, and we thought he knew everything, and we were finally, when he left, we went to the back and we saw, you know, so much dirt underneath and behind, and, you know, means he was just making a show. See? Devotional service is not a show. Show bottle. They'll give you a, you know, colored water. And charge you a lot of money, telling you it's a very potent medicine. And foolish people, they take it and they're so proud, they don't want to admit they're being cheated. So they'll say, yes, yes, I feel much better. Right? Actually, nothing happened, but they want to be seen to be, they don't want to be seen to be foolish and stupid. So they'll say, yes, yes, much better, very nice medicine. So to learn how to think in Krishna consciousness, first thing one has to be able to do is think of Krishna. And the more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more you will think of Krishna. And the more you think of Krishna, the more you will feel for Krishna. The more you will feel separation from Krishna. And in the beginning stages, not that we should imitate, you know, the gopis and the cowherd boys and Nanda Maharaj and the cowherds, they neglected themselves and everything because they were completely absorbed in Krishna. They were not thinking of anything else. They couldn't do anything else. But we should not think that in neophyte stage we can let things go because we're now in Govardhana, we are, you know, advanced devotees. No. We have to know who we are. And if we don't, at least we have to be able to hear from those who do. This is the... They're accusing Narada of being word juggler, but actually they're juggling words, the Yadus. They're trying to get out of the obvious that they are actually very dear to Krishna. Go look somewhere else. Tomorrow we'll find out who that person is. Hare Krishna. Shri Bhagavatamrita ki jai. Go Prema Nandi. Hare Hare. Question? Jibhyago. 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 Ghoda Chanda Boe.
How do you understand where we are?
How to understand? You've got oceans and volumes of instructions. You hear, you have to be honest. Therefore Krishna says, Niyamatsarana Satam Projit Kaitivotra Paramo Niyamatsaranam Satam. If you in order to stop cheating religion, in order to stop being a cheater, you have to give up envy, right? And you have to be honest. Without these two qualities, this is the very beginning of Bhagavatam. This is the second verse. Dharma, projito, kaitavo, tra, paramo, nirmatsaranam, satam. This is not just some word that you memorize and impress people by knowing. It means something. It means if you want to be an actual devotee, if you want to perform dharma, then you have to be free from envy, and you have to be honest. And if you actually give those things up, if you give up envy, if you give up, you have to give up envy. No, it's like one time Prabhupada, we're talking about sincerity. Sincerity. So Prabhupada, one time somebody asked Prabhupada, how can I become sincere? And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, be sincere. Because at some point, it's not that somebody else can do it for you. You actually know, everybody knows what sincerity is. If you don't know what sincerity is, then find out. Inquire. Keep inquiring until you can find out what sincerity is. If you're honest, and you don't know what sincerity is, what it means, what the symptoms are, how to detect it in yourself, then you have to inquire submissively. And in those answers and in that training you get from your spiritual master and in the process of devotional service, in serving Krishna, then you will gradually find out where you're at. The descriptions are there, but our ability to hear is impeded by these things. Dishonesty, pride, and all these things. Envy. The sum total of it is material desire. And there's only one way to get rid of material desire, and that's by getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Only Lord Nityananda in this age. Therefore, it was Lord Nityananda who had to accept Jagai, Madai. No one else. Lord Chaitanya was going to kill them. Lord Nityananda, no. Look, they fell. One of them fell at my feet. There's something here. There's something here. And he turned to Lord Chaitanya, please, my Lord. There's something here. You've come here to deliver to everyone. You haven't come here to destroy like you did before in Battle of Kurukshetra. So you have to get Lord Nityananda's mercy. Preaching Krishna consciousness by serving those who are spreading Krishna consciousness, who are empowered to spread Krishna consciousness, by hearing. Especially if you are connected to Srila Prabhupada, even if you don't have proper motives, if you stay connected to Srila Prabhupada and try, just try, and when the other things come up, just reject them. And they'll come up again, and again, and again, and again. And you have to keep rejecting them. Keep rejecting. Stay at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Because he is an empowered representative of Lord Nityananda. He could go and deliver the whole world. No one else. In recent memory, no one else. One time, the devotees asked Prabhupada, how was it that Lord Chaitanya didn't go outside of India? He could have delivered the whole world immediately, just by looking at him. Prabhupada said, he saved it for me. That's Lord Nityananda speaking. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. While the disciples of Prabhupada's disciples fight over who is who and what is what, the real beacon of light, you know, is sitting on the Vyasasana of every single temple in this movement. So if you keep serving Srila Prabhupada and serving his devotees sincerely and giving your heart to him, begging for his mercy, serving the great souls who are actually empowered to spread Krishna consciousness, and we have a good opportunity here because we have great souls come here and we can serve them and make their stay here comfortable, help them to get their spiritual strength and health together so when they go out they can do it nicely. See? Not that we should want to become imitate. If you try to imitate somebody who's greater than you, you expose yourself as being foolish, and you don't become beautiful. The person who becomes beautiful is a person who serves a great person, not the person who tries to imitate the great person. So if you just serve Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, you know, and those who are sincerely serving him, then you'll get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you can give up your material desires. Then you can unhear, then you can hear and understand the literatures of the Goswamis and enter into Govardhan. There's no other way. Not by artificial Raghunuga Bhajan. You must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. That is the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Bhagavat. Hare Krishna. Joy Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Bihat Bhagavatamata ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki jai. Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol.